In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. A new convert to the Byzantine Church walked into the sacred temple on a particular Sunday. It was actually the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. And still learning the customs of the church, he came to the icon. And he stopped in confusion. He saw these two men. However, neither one of them had a halo, and so he didn't know which one to actually venerate. So as he looked at the icon, as you can see here, you'll find one man with hands extended in a posture of prayer. And you see another man, as you see in the icon, who's cowering in the corner. And this neophyte to the Byzantine church assumed that it would be proper to reverence the one with his hands extended. And so he kissed the Pharisee. Not necessarily a mistake. In Orthros, Ode 5 of today's liturgy, if you happen to look at any of the liturgy, there's the hymn that states, quote, "Let us hasten to follow the example of the Pharisee in his virtues and to imitate the humility of the publican. Let us flee from what is wrong in each of them. Foolish pride and the defilement of the flesh." End of quote. Personally, in my own life, I had been taught most of my years to condemn the Pharisee, to shun him and not see anything good about him. However, I have to say in the last 2 years, thanks to the liturgy of the Eastern Church, I come to realize that even the Pharisee has something to teach us, as I just mentioned or quoted in the hymn 5. Would that we practice the virtues as faithfully as the Pharisee. Would that we fast as faithfully as the Pharisee. Would that we tithe as faithfully as the Pharisee. Because all three of those, being obedient to God's commandments, fasting, tithing, they are ordained by Almighty God. The Pharisee was right, therefore, in his actions. However, his heart was in the wrong place. So the next hymn in Ode 5 will say this from Orthros, quote, "The righteousness of the Pharisee proved useless and was condemned because it was joined to pride." Joined to pride. In his pride, if you read the gospel carefully, the Pharisee was praying to himself. And he was boasting to God about what he had done. And because he was talking to himself, he was self-centered. He stood in judgment on his neighbor. Therein lies the wretchedness. Therein lies the spiritual disease of the Pharisee. as we're coming upon the great season, or the season of Great Lent, the church is giving us a warning. When we keep in our heart, hold it tight, our hearts, not our minds, our hearts, not our brains, our hearts, the core of our being, that our righteous deeds do not make us holy. If it is God alone who makes a person righteous, God alone makes a person holy. Not because I fast, not because I do a lot of almsgiving, not because I'm doing a lot of praying makes you holy or me holy. The Lord taught in the 10th chapter of St. Luke, once the servant did all that the servant was supposed to do, what the master commanded him to do, and what could that servant boast? Nothing. Because he's only doing what the master had commanded. When we fast, when we alms give, when we pray, we're only doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't earn you holiness. The publican, however, he was a defiled man. He knew he was a defiled man, and he took responsibility for his defilement. He put on no airs. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't try to defend himself. He knew he was unworthy to stand before the one who is holy. And grasping that truth, not in his head, but at the core, in the core of his being, he could not even raise his eyes to God. And because he was looking down on the ground, he didn't even see anyone to judge them. And the church gives to us this man. The Lord gave to us this man as the paradigm of humility. Standing before the transcendent Holy One, overcome by the very mystery of God Himself, this publican did not bombard God with a bunch of words. Our holy fathers teach us that if we talk a lot to God and we say all these prayers to God, it can become a source of temptation toward pride and self-absorption. In the presence of merciful love, all the publican could do was say a very short, succinct prayer. And he said it over and over and over. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Humility, not words, win the heart of God. Humility is a godly virtue. The Lord taught, quote, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. End of quote. Some centuries later, one of our great spiritual fathers, St. John Climacus, would write, teach these words, quote, humility is unspeakable wealth. A name and a gift from God. For Scripture teaches, learn not from an angel, learn not from a man, learn not from a book, but from me, God, who is dwelling within. And from that indwelling in your heart, he illuminates and he acts. He brings his meekness and his humility into your very life. End of quote. As we prepare for Great Lent, this week, if you're paying attention to your Melkite calendar, we are instructed not to fast. Do not fast this week on Wednesdays and Fridays. Do no fasting this entire week. Why? It's a concrete reminder to you and me that our works of fasting, our works of prayer, and our works of almsgiving do not make us righteous. They are only the means to dispose you and me to the humble God dwelling within us. We are vessels. We are temples. We are tabernacles, carrying within us the very living God, the one who is humble. Guard that treasure, and he will make you like himself. And the more you treasure this gift of God dwelling in you, the more you become aware of that dwelling, then the very selfless love of God will impel you to embrace the righteous deeds of the Pharisee and the very humility of the publican. Christ is among us.
He is among us.